Welcome to The Root Podcast. My name is Reverend Lauren Gerlach, and I am so glad that you're here. Over the years, The Root has grown into so much more than a Bible study. It's a community focused on Scripture. While we meet together in person for class on Sundays, this podcast is here for you, and I am so glad that you have landed here with us. So get comfortable, grab your cup of coffee, and open your Bible to the book of Genesis. Let's jump in.
Well, good morning. My name is Will Tiller. I am the young adults pastor here at St. Andrew. So just before we get in that, I'm sure some of you know young adults. You are young adults. You have young adult children. You have young adult coworkers. You live next to young adults, or you have a young adult in mind. If that is the case, send them my way. We've got a wonderful and growing and just lovely group of young adults here at the church. We meet for Bible study every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and then we sprinkle in some cool social outings and some lunches and everything in between. So if you've got someone that you love, you want them to get plugged into the church, we've got a really easy group and a really easy church to get plugged into here, and that is wonderful. But today is not Wednesday, nor is it Young Adults. It's The Root, and we are talking about Genesis, specifically chapter 13. Before we dive into it, would y'all pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who has taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of your Holy Spirit, grant the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I'm excited to dive into our chapter today. It's a fun one. It's an interesting one, as is most the case in Genesis. And for this specifically, I think when we're reading through it, it reads less like a history and more like a mirror into our current world. You see, Genesis 13, it's about land and wealth and a bit of family tension, which could sound like ancient Israel and honestly could sound like modern-day Texas. But underneath all of that, it's really about faith. And so it's about what we've got to do when we've got options, when things are getting crowded, when the pressure's kind of coming in on our relationships, when you're standing in the middle of a moment that could shape your entire future, what do you do there? And honestly, it's about who we trust the most, about focusing our eyes on God, not about the situation around us. And so today, let's talk about Abram and Lot. And let's ask God what he might show us in the decisions that we make, in the way that we trust, and how we might live like we actually believe, that we actually believe that God's in control. So, just to refresh, Abram and Lot are just coming back from Egypt. If you remember, just kind of a Reader's Digest version of that portion of the story, things got a little bit weird there. It got shaky. Abram panicked, and he lied, and he almost lost everything. But he gets out of town, and now he's back in Canaan. So, it says, so Abram went up from Egypt to Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot was with him. Now, Abraham had become very wealthy in livestock and silver and gold. And from Negev, he went to the place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. So, did you catch that? What sticks out to you there, specifically? Full circle, He comes back. He started here. He's gone somewhere else. Things have gotten crazy. And in kind of his hurried out of Egypt, he goes until he finds the place where it all began. Specifically, he goes to the place where God spoke to him. See, Abram, he could have sulked in shame because of what happened in Egypt. He could have said, well, I messed up. I blew it. And I guess God's done with me, so I'm just going to get out of town and go and do nothing for the rest of my life. But he doesn't do that. He goes back. He goes back to the altar, back to worship, and back to calling on the name of God. So I think for us, a lot of times we find ourselves in a similar place where God's promised something that we've left church on Sunday full of charge and purpose and gone into the world and, well, messed it up. But there's always a place that you can return. That we can always, no matter how far we've drifted, no matter how much we've lied or messed up, that we can return to the place that God speaks to us. And for us, that could be anywhere. So keep that in mind as we're going forward. And maybe make a mental note of where is your altar? Where is the place that you feel like God speaks to you the most? Does anybody have, just want to share kind of what that place could look like for you or for us?
I'll take a shot.
All right. Absolutely. That I hear more and more. God speaks to people in cars all the time. There's something, it does kind of feel like a holy roller. Thank you. I'll be here all weekend. For me, I feel like I hear God the most. I connect with God outdoors. I have become a little bit of a runner. At least I try to be. And on Saturday mornings, I'll go out for my long run every Saturday. And usually that's an hour, hour and a half. But I find that just going out in nature, I'll go down like the Katy Trail in Dallas. And just kind of no phone, no music. Just trying to listen to nature and see what God has for me. And it feels like when I get out in nature, it's in those points that I can really kind of clear my mind and hear God speaking. So for some of us, it could be on a long drive alone. For some, it could be in nature, on a walk, on a run, on a hike, on a bike ride. I'm sure some of you have a chair or a room or a closet that you go in to really feel like you've connected with God. But the good news is that wherever you find yourself, that you can always go to that place and that God's never going to abandon you. Let's move on to Genesis 13, 5 through 7. It says, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great. And eventually, then strife comes about between Abram's herders and Lot's. So, Abram and Lot, they were blessed. They were wealthy. They had a ton of stuff. And that is a good thing. But blessing can also bring pressure. Anybody who's kind of grown a business or tried to build family wealth or has been successful knows that these things can put a lot of pressure on a person. And that when wealth is growing, usually tensions are also. They're right in the middle of the text. In the middle of their conflict, the text says that the Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land. That's right at the end of verse 7. Quarreling rose among Abram's herders and Lot's, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living there. See, that is a really profound thing, both for their story and for ours, because while it might not look like it in the moment, if you are an outspoken Christian, if you are a part of the family of God, then wherever you are and whatever you do, the world around you is going to watch. And they're going to watch, and what they see from God is generally going to be what they see in you. So, just like we have a choice, Abram and Lot have a decision here. How are they going to approach this conflict? Not only in a way that keeps their family together, that honors God for their sake, but also handles this conflict and acts as an external witness for the land around them. So, how do they do that? Well, let's keep going. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, between your herders and mine, because we are close relatives. And is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go left, then I'll go right. And if you go right, I'll go left." Well, Abram is doing is kind of holding an open-handed faith here. He says, let's not let this get between us. We're family. So he gives him the choice. He says, you pick. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Lot, you choose. Why? I think it's because Abram trusted that God was going to provide no matter what choice he ended up taking. See, this is what faith looks like. It's the ability to be generous with others because you believe that God is really in charge. For Abram, it's total selflessness. It's total love for his brother. See, Abram, I think, had learned a lesson back in Egypt because there he panicked. But here, he trusts in God. And what comes out of that, I think, is an even greater blessing. So, Lot looks out and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like a garden of the Lord, like the Garden of Eden, like the land of Egypt. Now, this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company, and Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tent near Sodom. This part of the passage, I think, is the pinnacle. I think this is the climax of this whole interaction. And it's so interesting, and I think it's so telling for human nature. Because Lot looks out, and he sees, on one hand, let me just put out some visuals for our sake. So here's what kind of where we're dealing with in the modern world. And when they come to Negev, this is our beautiful scenery. Wow. So, Lot looks out, and on one side, we see this. And on the other hand, well, I don't have an actual picture. I still have that Genesis picture from last time. I can flash that up there. It looks something like this. So, wow, they got this beautiful. They got golf courses over there. Five-star resort versus the desert. So it's a pretty easy decision. And he goes, one moment, let's see if I can get back off of this. There we go. And so he makes the pretty easy decision for himself to go out into the good land where everything is nice and green and they've got golf courses maybe. And he leaves his brother for the desert. Of course, he has the choice, and his brother honors that. And it says he goes towards Sodom, and that's where he makes his camp. A little subtle foreshadowing. So, it looked good, but even what looked good on the surface comes with maybe a dark undercurrent being near Sodom. This is the point. Lot chose sight in this. And we know what's headed for him. If you grew up in the story of Genesis, we know what's going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah. It even foreshadows in the story. It says, before this place was destroyed, that's where Lot's headed. But he sees, and he walks by faith, or by sight. But Abram chooses faith. And we'll see where that goes. This is really interesting because of where Abram is headed. Does anybody know maybe another place that Abraham has to walk not by faith, not by sight, but by faith? Genesis 22 specifically, if you want to flip. Mount Moriah is one of them. That's good. I wasn't even thinking about that. So God, in just a couple chapters later, I won't spoil this for you, but it's been out for like 5,000 years, maybe more. You haven't read it yet, that's on you. He's going to come to a point where God calls him to sacrifice his son. And he has to go in and walk exclusively by faith. Because what he sees is that he's about to become the murderer of his own son. But the faith would tell him that God had promised him this. In fact, we'll see promise him just in a few short verses. But we'll promise him a son and a lineage. And here he is with that son and the lineage that is to come. And he knows that even if God calls him to sacrifice his son, that God will surely raise that son from the dead to carry on this lineage that he's promised. There's a really interesting philosopher that I absolutely love named Soren Kierkegaard. And Kierkegaard writes this book called Fear and Trembling. And Fear and Trembling essentially walks through the dichotomy of this life of faith, that what faith actually is, because to him, it's horrifying. The faith that God calls us to, the faith that is walking in that and not by sight, is full trust. And so the way that Kierkegaard lays it out is that faith is giving up everything that you have, not for the sake of being an ascetic or not for the sake of being a monk that just goes to live in nothingness because that's what seems like it would be the holy thing to do, but because you have full trust that if God has promised you something, that even in giving up, that you might come back and kind of do a holy backflip, that God would bring you back to the exact thing that he's promised you all along. And that's what we see from Abram modeled even before this whole Abram and Isaac situation. It's kind of a subtle foreshadowing or an early nod into what the life of faith is and the character of Abraham. So not only does this choice of where he's going to live shape where he's going to pitch his tents and build a home and live with his side of the family, but it also shapes the future because it brings him closer and closer and closer to the city of the promise. And even more so, it gets him further and further and further away from the city that will eventually fall apart and God will destroy. So, take away this. Not only should we walk in faith and in trust of the promise that God has given us, but also, ask yourself, are you making decisions on what you see or by what God has said? I think that's a good kind of preacher sentence to take away into the week. Are you making decisions based on what you see or what God has said? Let's keep it going. So, 14. So, Lot's gone. And after Lot leaves, God starts talking. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, look around from where you are to the north and the south and the east and the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring. How about that for a deal? Man, you talk about being humble and holy and following in God's plans, and all of a sudden things start going right. He gets even more so than the nice resort. That's a good image. That's what we're looking at. It's even more so than just that. It's all of it for him and his family. He'll give them to you and your offspring forever. And I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth. So if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Man, that's a lot. Father Abraham has many sons, and his sons had Father Abraham. They're all like dust, and so are we. So remember your sins and repent. Come on, that was funny. I'm just joking. It is Lent, after all. So, what's the deal? Lot walks by sight. He chooses what he's going to do. Abram stays faithful, stays put, starts going out to the other place, and then God comes to him. It says, not only that, but all of this will be for you. Not only will it be for you, but it will be for your descendants, who will be so plentiful that you can't even count them. And what does Abraham do? Let's go all the way through 18 for this. So, then your offspring could be counted. Go and walk through the length and the width of the land, for I am giving it to you. And so Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre, and Hebron, where he pitched his tents, and then he built an altar to the Lord. That is impressive. What does Abram do? He walks the land, and then he builds another altar. And he doesn't build an altar for himself. He doesn't build it on how holy he was. He doesn't call attention to himself. He doesn't say, oh, man, I am rocking and rolling. I'm wealthy. I've got all these livestock. I've got all of these herders. I've got all of this land. I've got all of these descendants. Man, I'm doing well. He doesn't do that at all. Instead, he turns it all back on God because he understands that from God, all of this fame and wealth and beauty has come his way. So he builds a place of worship. See, because I think Abraham is modeling a theme that will be continued throughout Scripture, that the people of faith, they don't just take territory, and we'll see kind of the people of Israel going on and building their nation, but they take time and they thank God for where they are. And that's what sets them apart. Because Abram is called holy, Israel is called holy, and what is it to be holy? Set apart. Man, I love y'all. Set apart from the world for the sake of glorifying God. That is what it is when God calls something holy. And so, what could possibly set Abram apart from anyone else? Because anybody could have a big family and a lot of wealth. I mean, I live in Highland Park. I see plenty of people who are wealthy with big families, but they don't look anything like what God has called them to. So, he takes time and he builds an altar in humility to say, all that I have is really God's. So I'm going to put it all back on him. So as you leave here, look at where God has been faithful to you. And then maybe do a self-check-in and say, when's the last time I really glorified him for all of the good in my life? Or even if things are going bad, maybe keep the faith keep walking in that and not by sight. And just be patient and see where it is that God is taking you. You could either say, thank you for everything that you've had, or even in the bad, say, you know what, God, I'm going to choose to still trust you. Genesis 13, it's a story of two men, both wealthy, both blessed, both standing on the same land. One walked by faith, and one walked by sight. One returned to the altar, and the other moved closer and closer to Sodom. But the difference came down to trust. So the question for us today is simple but challenging. When you have the choice, who do you trust? When things feel hard, when the pressure is closing in, do you grab control or do you open your hands? When the world is watching, does your life show faith or fear? So, let's be people who walk by faith, who choose worship over worry, who believe that no matter what our current landscape looks like, that if God is with us, we know that we're just in the right place. I think if we do that, we'll be good. Would you all pray with me? God, thank you for a day that we can come and dive into your word. Lord, the tackling Genesis is no easy task, but we thank you that you are generous and merciful with us, that in the complicated stories of the Old Testament, that you are shining the light of the gospel through every page. Lord, give us the strength to go through from this place and walk in faith in whatever challenges and difficulties our days might face. Would you be with us? Would your Holy Spirit guide us? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for joining us here at the Root Community and Podcast. I hope this class has been fruitful and eye-opening as to what God is doing specifically in your life. Until we meet again, I'll be praying for you, ask you pray for me, and we will journey together in life in Christ.